Do we have any public comments from them?
No public comments.
Okay, thank you. We're going to go ahead and go with the items for individual consideration. We're going to start with item number one, which is a consideration and approval of minutes of the December 14, 2021 regular meeting.
So moved.
So moved. Mr. Sampaio, I need a second.
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. The next item will be number two, the general manager's report.
Members of the board, there's a few items to discuss tonight. In your packet is the board calendar. Mike is going to update you on the financial report. We have an engineering and legal fees monthly expense report, debt obligation post-issuance compliance, and then just a brief update on the electric base rate rollback discussions with the city of Brownsville. I ask Mike to present the financial.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. So I'll be presenting the financial performance report as of January 31, 2022. So here we have the estimate of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position. We see total operating revenues of $69,557,897 year to date. Once we subtract out the total operating expenses of $59,771,206, we arrive at operating income of $9,786,691. After backing out the other net non-operating expenses of $8,220,869, we arrive at income before capital contributions of $1,565,823. Adding in capital contributions of $1,108,552, we have an increase or a change in net position of $2,674,375 year to date. Adding this to the net position beginning of the year, we arrive at net position at end of the year of $413,980,648. What I would like to point out here is that here in the month of January, we do see that we ended up using $1.9 million in net position. And the reason for that is that we actually accounted for three pay periods in the month of January. That's not uncommon. It happens twice during the year. That one extra pay period amounted to $1.7 million in wages and benefits. So that made up the majority of that net position or change in net position. The following report here is the flow of funds report. What I will say here is that PUB did generate sufficient net revenues to accommodate for all of our transfers. The report here on lines 23 to 26. And we still ended up with a surplus of $2.5 million at the end of January. So that concludes my financial report. Be glad to answer any questions.
No questions.
All right. Thank you. The next item that we have is the engineering and legal fees report. I'll start it out with the engineering report. We do show that we've expended $339,135 through the end of January, leaving us with a budget balance for the remainder of the year of $2,234,865. We're averaging an expenditure of about $85,000 per month, so we got sufficient budget in the engineering fees for the remainder of the year. Moving on to the legal expense report. The report that you see in front of you, we've expended year-to-date through January, that's 4 months, $598,495. This leaves us, so that pretty much makes up about half of the budget that we had under legal. And so that leaves us with a balance of $625,336 for the remainder of the year. That's about a little over 4 months left. Now, one of the things that we did just recently, we went ahead and readjusted or reclassified the lobbyists, the budget for the lobbyist off of here into a separate account because that's not really legal related. And so by doing so, that would reduce the total budget for just legal at $887,831. Total expenditures to date would be $486,495, leaving us a balance of $401,336. That is only about a 3.5 months worth of budget. And so that means it'll probably take us through mid-May. So more than likely, I mean, we'll continue to monitor this, but more than likely, we're going to have to bring a budget amendment to the board in April. Any questions?
Any questions?
Yes, I have some questions, I have some comments. Mike, this budget on legal, we're going right back to where we were last year. You're telling us that you have X amount, you took some of the money out to pay for the lobbyists, and now you're going to come back in a few months for more money. I think the idea for y'all is to find out how you can reduce that budget. What are non-essential legal items that you can reduce?
Right, but, and staff is doing that very diligently. And the thing is that, if y'all remember, when we had this issue last fiscal year, we were asked to reduce the current budget by the amount that we had to make up the overages that we had last year. So we actually ended up reducing our budget this year by close to $700,000. And we let that flow into surplus in our budget. So that's what's creating the shortfall at this point in time.
I don't agree with that. You went over the budget. Last year, we went over the budget by an excessive amount.
By $700,000.
You did not have more approval. Here's the budget for this year.
By that amount.
Because it was an excessive amount. And now you're going right back into that trend. And you've got to figure out to explain to the board how you're going to keep this thing at budget. Not 2 months, so we can come back and get some more money so we can pay for legal. There has to be essential items. There has to be a way that this budget needs to stay within budget. That's a major concern.
Mm-hmm. You can look at that, and we can provide any detail that y'all want as far as what makes up those expenses.
No, I don't want details. It's an excessive budget. We were over $2 million last year until we took action and reduced it.
Right.
And this year, you have a budget for legal, and now you're telling us, hey, in a couple of months, we're coming back. It's a lot, Mike.
Well, that's what I was saying. If the adjusted budget under legal right now is at $887,000. That's significantly below last year's budget?
That is. Mike, whatever language you want to give it to me is fine. But you have to understand that this is an enormous budget that was excessive. The board took action to reduce it in this year's budget. You're simply saying, we're going to exhaust the budget that was reduced, and we're going to come back and ask for some more. I need to do a more effective job of trying to control this.
We'll take a look at that and try to stay within that budget. I mean, there's going to be some things we're not going to be able to do, and we'll...
Yeah, this thing about the lobbyists moving over to another area. You're talking about those two lobbyists that you have an agenda?
Yeah.
To vote?
Right.
That's $250,000. Okay. That's my story.
That's not really legal fees, but...
I understand it, but yeah. You had it there.
Correct. That's correct. We've moved it over. We'll try to stay within that and see what the... Give you an idea of what we're going to cut out of it to keep it at that point. You have a decision of the board how you want to do it. So,
I think that y'all have an enormous responsibility, and I understand that. But the budgets have to stay within budget. I'm concerned with, when you have change orders and there's more money going into these change orders, but let's just handle this right now. That's all I have to say, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions?
No, I'm thinking that maybe we should probably, is there any way we can project what you're going to need from here till the end of the year?
We'll have that at the next meeting, and then to stay within the budget that Mr. Rondon said, we're just going to show you what's going to come out.
Right.
And it'll be a decision of, because there'll be certain things we won't be able to do.
From here till the end of the year, to the end of the budget, right? So that we can
we'll project and we'll show you what it will take to stay within the current budget on that.
Sure.
All right. The next item that we had was the debt obligation post issuance compliance report. This is a housekeeping item. So every year we review and update the policies and procedures related to the post obligations post issuance. Policies. So we did forward this to our bond council for review. The only change that they actually made on the policy was they changed the wording on 3 months to 90 days. That was the only change that was effectuated. And so right now we are certifying that PUB is in full compliance with its debt obligation post issuance compliance policies and procedures. Questions?
Questions?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, and item E was just the update when we did talk to the city about the rate rollback. We did have a meeting last week, Mr. Simpo, Mike and I, with city manager, and talked about the steps going forward for the rollback of the rates. And we're on track. Where we left it, I believe the city manager was going to start individually meeting with the commissioners to explain that. And if they had any questions on it, we would participate in that and then hopefully get it on the future early, you know, city agenda for consideration. And Mr. Sampaio, anything you want to add to that?
No, I think it's, at this point, it's in the city commission's hands, so it's their timeline. We're rolling unless they require some additional information.
Yeah, and we talked about options and things, you know, things to consider, and they've got some options there. But I think there's going to be some work needed with the commission by the city manager and maybe myself and Mike to try to answer some of their questions before we go to it. But we're, you know, our plan is to get a commission as soon as possible.
John, this is Mayor Mendez. Did Mr. Bernal give you a time frame for when he intended to put it on the agenda? Because I want to do that as soon as possible. I don't know what the whole may be on the city side.
Mayor, we did discuss that, and he did not have a time frame. So, but yes, you know, we're ready as soon as you're ready.
Okay, I'll do my part to try and get it done as soon as possible. Thanks.
Yeah, his. Discussion was that you'd instructed him to meet with us, which we've done, and then he was going to meet individually with the commissioners and then get it to commission, but he didn't have a timeline on that.
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Item number three?
Yes.
Item number three is a discussion and action on amendment of board policy GMR 1004, the strategic planning policy. Mr. Busio.
Yeah, Dr. Guerra was going to be here, but Sergio Delgadillo is going to be presenting tonight and give you a brief update on that. Sergio.
Thank you, sir. Madam Chair, member. Toastmaster is coming up. I'm so sorry. Madam Chair, board members. Board policy GMR 10004, strategic planning, has been updated to reflect DPUE's new policy format. DPUE staff recommends approval of amended policy.
Can you a little bit about what it is?
Yes. So DPUE planning process is embodied by the strategic planning. What this policy does is that it sets all of the rules that we're going to have in order to perform or to create our strategic plan. So basically it states what is the mission, vision for a strategic plan. It talks about the annual five-year strategy plan, how it has to build, all the components that it has to have, and the need, of course, to follow it.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board?
Were there any significant changes? I mean, it says that the it was adopted in 2008. Is what we have in front of us the same, or were there any significant?
The major change was just the format that it was established in. It's really the same policy.
Okay.
It talks about the planning. The plan has changed.
Right, but the policy.
But the policy is basically the same.
Policy is the same. It's just in a format consistent with our other policies that we have. That one didn't get done,
but it's just the format.
It's the formatting issue. Yeah.
Any questions? Need a motion to approve?
So move.
Second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. For the next items, we're going to go ahead and combine item four and item number five. So number four is going to be the consideration and possible approval of an agreement for legislative and consulting services with focused advocacy. And number five is going to be the consideration and possible approval of an agreement for legislative and consulting services with the Garcia Group. Mr. Brusiak?
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the board, these are two contracts that are two-year contracts with our legislative consulting firms, and they expired in this coming month. And so we brought those back for consideration and approval. We're recommending approval on them. There's some question of, you know, why do we do 2 years? And it's really to cover the off year on the session and during the session when there is a session, they do quite a bit more. But even in the off session, there's quite a bit of work we do. There's been a change in election, change of legislative people that have come in that we've got to get up to speed on. There's permitting issues we're working on currently right now in the off session. And both of these firms do an excellent job with us. They did present in your packet, there's some information there of what they've done and what type of work they plan to be doing. And they're available online if a board member has a question. They're not planning to make a presentation, but I just wanted to – they're – staff's recommending approval of these. The contracts are, you're able to terminate them anytime, the consultant or the PUB at any time. We're not locked in for 2 years on these things. It's just, you're not satisfied with the work, we can terminate them. But they do a lot of work for us, and we're in the middle of some stuff right now on the electric side and on the wastewater side as well. So, but, we'll entertain any questions, or consultants will entertain any questions if you have any.
Any questions from the board?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to table this item, both these items. I think the administration needs to come back and give us a detailed report as to the value. What exactly are these two firms providing to PUB? This is these two items, $9,000 a month. I mean, roughly it's $250,000 of expenses for two consulting firms. I'd like to know if they are duplicated. Is it the same work? And what have they provided the PUB in the last 24 months? It's $9,000 a month plus expenses. So that's my motion. I'd like to table this until we get some further information.
It's up to the board.
It's up to the board.
Well, they have to stop their work at the end of this month.
When does that contract expire?
I think it's the end of March.
Is there a month-to-month provision on that in case the contract expires?
Yeah, I believe we can do something like that if we had to.
Okay.
I didn't hear the mayor. I'm sorry.
Can we do a month-to-month?
Oh, okay.
On that. And again, you're not locked in for 2 years. You can certainly change it, cancel it at any time.
Now, my question was if there's a month-to-month provision in the event that it expires, it just continues. So, I mean, Board Member Rendon did ask the table. So I'll go ahead and second that.
This is Jude. I was going to – all right, never mind. Go ahead. We have a first and a second, so.
I'm familiar with both of these gentlemen. They do a good job. I have no issue with it, but because we have a board member who wants more information, I think he should get that.
This is Jude. I'm along the same lines as the mayor. I know both of these folks, but I am a bit concerned that about the issues of duplication, as well as making sure that we get deep. This is falling in line with the other stuff that we've had, and I think a recurring issue that I don't want to post facto approve expenditures. I think we need these a little bit ahead of time, and the constant this is going to expire here in the next few weeks type thing means that these things need to be brought to our attention a little bit earlier, and so we can work around that issue. But I think this is yet another issue that another example of this kind of almost short term approvals that put us under the gun. But I think the fact that we're a board member is requesting more information, and I'm inclined to agree. I would support that. Okay,
board member, any other questions? You didn't hear what he said? No.
Agrees with the request to get some additional information.
Yeah, basically just saying that we need a little more time. And
again, there's no, I guess we have them both online. There's no issue with going month to month for the time being.
That's okay here. I'm here to help the board in any way, including answer questions if you had any.
Well, I think that's the question at this point, is if there's any issue going month to month for the time being.
That's fine, sir, from focused advocacy. Thank you.
I agree from Garcia Group, and I meant questions about what we do. I didn't mean about that, but we can come back or be there present, whatever you're inclined.
Yeah, if we can get this is Jude, if we can get that information quickly and we can reach a consensus, you know, before that, before the end of the month, and possibly either have a brief meeting to approve and get going, or if we have a month to month, then without any kind of infraction or any kind of upset of operation.
We can accommodate that, sir.
Buddy, this is Trey. Just to confirm, it's you and Joe on your end?
Joe and I are the Garcia Group, and then Kurt Seidlitz is on as well, representing Focus Advocacy.
Okay, thanks.
Well, just to make sure, at this time, we're going to go ahead and go month to month.
We'll bring the information back to you by the next meeting or sooner. Then y'all make a decision whether you want to continue or not.
This time we're going to table the 4 and 5.
We'll take the vote.
That's the motion on the floor, right now. Yeah.
There's a motion to table
the second. Five. Second by
A second by I don't know if it was the mayor.
The mayor seconded.
Yeah.
Okay. So everybody who is in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay.
We're going to go ahead and go on with item number 6, which is a consideration and possible action on the following resolution. A resolution approving the study by Wilden Financial Services, an independent consulting and engineering firm, the Brownsville Public Utilities Board's water and wastewater rates, fees and charges, including a Resaca charge, and requesting the City Commission to amend Chapter 102 of the Code of Ordinances entitled Utilities to approve and adopt the rates and fees identified in the study.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. So the board already approved the water, wastewater, and restoration, Resaca study last month. At this point, we're just bringing a legal draft up a resolution that we're going to need to take to the City Commission. So at this time, BPV staff recommends approval of the resolution requesting City Commission consideration of amendments to Chapter 102 of the Code of Ordinances entitled Utilities.
Any questions from the board? No?
Yeah, I mean, this is simply what is it, Michael, tell me, it's an action item?
It's to approve that resolution that we take to the City Commission.
Yeah, okay. I make the motion to approve that as stated by administration or recommended by administration.
Okay, can I get a second?
Second.
Second. Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We're going to go to item number 7, consideration of and possible action on resolution by the Brownsville Public Utilities Board relating to the issuance and sale of obligations designated as City of Brownsville Texas Utility System Revenue Funding Bonds, which may be issued as tax-exempt or taxable bonds in one or more series, and approval of other matters in connection therewith.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. So since the Fed is expected to be raising interest rates several times during 2022, it's considered a good time to start to convert the $53 million of commercial paper that's outstanding to long-term debt. Estrada Hinojosa made a presentation to the Finance Committee on March 2nd, 2022. And they're here with us tonight to present to the full board. Noe?
Thank you, Mr. Perez. Noe Hinojosa, for the record, with Estrada Hinojosa & Company. Along with me is Andres Ortiz and my daughter, Mary Hinojosa Kelly, who works for us, too. Basically, this item has to do with attempting to reduce interest rate risk exposure on the PUB's debt portfolio. Today, the debt portfolio for PUB is around $308 million of principal when you take into account about $53 million of commercial paper. Some of you may not know about commercial paper, but literally commercial paper is like a credit card. And it has a very limited amount of days that you can have that those bonds outstanding or that note outstanding until you're required to remarket that. So in lieu of the fact that the amount of $53 million is kind of significant enough and how volatile the markets are, I know Mr. Perez mentioned that the Fed has been a bit of a concern. Some of you may have heard that there's talk about maybe 7 interest rate hikes during the course of this year. We think it's probably going to be more like 5. But what's creating more volatility now is the conflicts in between Russia and Ukraine. And just to give you an idea, when we went to the board or to the committee, I'm sorry, the Finance Committee back on March 2nd to today, literally in 2 weeks, interest rates have gone up in the 10-year the 10-year maturity almost 0.5%. So what we're trying to do is try to anticipate any more increases and secure, lock in a long-term interest rate on that commercial paper. So, Andres, I don't know if you can share your screen and take us to the debt portfolio page.
Sure. I just requested permission to share the screen. They're working on that.
Okay. As we're getting permission to share that that screen with you all, basically, we've been monitoring also for the last 5-6 months other opportunities for refunding. And what you have there in front of you on page 8, some of you may have access to your own computers or maybe this has been printed for you, but this is the portfolio of the PUB. So when I tell you that you have, the PUB has $308 million outstanding, pretty much that's the sum of all the various bond issues. So on a fixed rate basis, bonds that have been issued in the past, 20 years, 30 years, those interest rates are fixed. The piece that is not fixed is $53 million of commercial paper. So commercial paper may be paid with cash, may be paid with debt. We have recommended to the PUB board, to the PUB staff for that matter, that despite the fact that you enjoy of a very healthy financial a position like no other of the past, or the recent past for that matter, we think that paying off that commercial paper with a fixed rate loan will be more than justified. If you go to the next page under this, that page basically shows you how your annual payments are amortized over the next 30 years. So as you can see, most of the pressure is between the years 2022 that we're in out to 31. And then they drop significantly to levels of $5 million and change. So what we're doing here is basically laying over $53 million on top of those bars. Now, at the same time that we're fixing or trying to fix this commercial paper, we have been looking, if you don't mind going back to page 8, we have been looking at maybe refinancing some of the current bonds for interest rate purposes and getting savings to the PUB. As of March 2nd, we felt that there could be an opportunity to save money. As we speak today, those opportunities are not here today. What's important, though, is that we're not doing this deal today. Today is March 14th, as you all know. And as you all know, too, the PUB can't sell bonds under its own authority. We have to go seek the approval and authority from the City Commission. So we intend to be before the City Commission on or about April the 5th. And then if we so get their approval, then we intend to price these bonds on or about May 2nd. So between now and May 2nd, we're going to try to reserve the option legally from the commission so that if interest rates do happen to drop between now and the time that we sell these bonds, that if we can achieve certain savings, that then we can execute the refunding. With that, I'll stop and entertain any questions that you may have.
No questions. No, okay. Thank you.
So before we make a recommendation here, I just wanted to bring to the board the fact that since we issued the taxable commercial paper to cover our shortfall from Winter Storm Uri, the $35 million that the board had approved back then, I had been advising the board that as we collect reimbursements from some of those expenses, that we can set them aside in the improvement fund and potentially use that to defease some of the commercial paper before we issue them. When we met with Mr. Hinojosa, he is recommending that we keep that cash, repurpose it for some other capital items, and issue the full $35 million as part of the CP as long-term debt. Noe, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, that is correct, sir. Yeah.
Any questions regarding that?
So, Mike, as that money comes in, y'all are going to set it aside?
Right. So far, we collected $8.8 million in the capital improvement fund. We've set it aside. We can use it to defease, but then again, Noe, Mr. Nojosa, is recommending that we keep it and we repurpose it to other capital needs.
I remember that from the last meeting.
Right.
Okay.
We still have about $4.5 million that we have recorded as a short pay receivable on the books that's still owed to us from ERCOT. So that's another $4.5 million that we can repurpose when we do collect. Questions? Any other questions?
No.
So I guess at this time, I'll read the recommended action. VPUV staff recommends approval to execute the resolution related to the issuance and sale of obligations designated as City of Brownsville, Texas, utility system, revenue refunding bonds, and other matters in connection therewith.
I make a motion that we move forward with that recommendation, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you for your trust.
Yeah.
Thank you, Noah. Okay. And your staff.
Any opposed?
Motion.
Thanks, Noe.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll stay in touch. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Over to item number 8, which is a consideration and possible action of a resolution to award a bank depository services contract.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. So our current contract with Wells Fargo expires May 2022. So we did issue an RFP back in November 2021, and responses were received on January the 5th of 22. We had 6 respondents, and they're listed on the agenda item. We are seeking a 3-year contract with 2 1-year renewals at the board's option. The RFP did detail the bank services that were requested. The evaluation committee ranked all the proposals on January the 20th, and they were all based on 9 criteria that's listed in the RFP. Most of the banks were not able to provide all the services that were requested, and then they did lose some points for that. We did make a presentation to the finance committee on February the 2nd of 2022. And at this time, the BPV staff recommends awarding the Bank Depository Services Contract to Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., the highest ranked banking firm.
Any questions from the board?
I have some questions, and I'd like to make a motion, but let me provide some context here. You have several banks that are all good, and you vetted them all. But there's one bank here that provides services to the Brownsville Independent School District, the Port of Brownsville, Texas Southwest College. I don't quite understand how that bank, which is it's a regional bank, how it would not be a top contender to provide service for the Public Utility Board. I'm going to make a motion that this be awarded to Lone Star National Bank simply because they are here. It's a regional bank. They provide service to the Brownsville Independent School District, which is their budget is three times larger than PV. The amount of personnel they have is enormous. I'm certain they could handle this account, but for some reason, y'all tabulated, y'all reviewed, and you went with the same bank that you've been with 10, 12 years.
Mr. Under, which bank are you referring to?
I'm referring to Lone Star National Bank.
So Lone Star National Bank. Okay, yeah. So what we did, our staff, we had to prepare a PowerPoint presentation that we put it in front of you. We do list in there the various banks and what their pros and cons were. Lone Star National Bank is found on page 11.
I saw it, Mike. I saw the
note. So, yeah. So the main
My concern is that this bank provides service to three large entities in the city of Brownsville. I'm a little concerned and confused as why it could not provide service to PB. Now, I read your information and the way that you rated them and gave us additional information about why this bank would be good and this bank and this one not and this one not. I simply don't agree with it. You make your recommendation for the administration. I respect that.
Right.
But there is a bank, which is a regional bank, which has a footprint here, that provides service to three large entities, but for some reason, they don't qualify to provide services to PUB. That's my concern. My motion is to award this contract to Lone Star National Bank. And if there's a second, fine.
Can I make a comment?
Mr. Renan, can I say something?
What happens is community banks, I'm with a community bank. Sometimes the community banks cannot do certain things that the big banks can do.
I understand.
That's what it is. So it's not that there's entities that cannot work with them and will not work with them, but because they're community banks, they're not able to do or service certain things that are requested or required from an entity because a larger entity needs other kinds of things that need to be taken care of.
I appreciate your comment, but that bank has provided service to three large entities in our own city, and the school district has a budget of $500-600 million in personnel. And school district personnel is a large number. I'm certain that that bank could handle this account, but they're making
there are differences between the entities. And as a utility, we have a lot more. We collect all the payments from the customers, and there's various methods that we need to offer to our customers. And so, I mean, there's differences between the entities, and so that is one of the reasons.
I understand. That's my motion.
Go ahead. Go ahead, please, Anna.
So I was just going to say something with Ms. Langley. I probably bank with three out of the banks on this list, and at the end of the day, it is about the holistic service that they provide. And some banks are not able to provide at a higher level service. And I highly respect Mr. Rendon's comment on, you know, the community. But I would have to say that the staff did their due diligence by providing and ranking these banks by the service that they provide. And so, again, me banking with different banks, it sounds easier than it is, but it is a very holistic picture of all the services that they are able to provide. So I don't know if we're going to take a motion.
Well, what's the difference between the bank that Mr. LeBron is requesting and your recommendation?
Yeah, I'll refer you again back to page 11. We list Lone Star National Bank. No problem. There's a significant amount of cons that we identified. There's a lot of services that are not able to provide that are required, that were required by the RFP, and they're all listed on there.
This is Jude. I don't see that. I'm sorry. Maybe it's because it was something that was given.
Yeah, it wasn't part of the packet, and I apologize for that. We went ahead and distributed it to the board members that are.
That's fine. I'll just follow along with discussion.
Do they have the scoring sheet in their packet?
No, they don't either. That we stamp with confidence. We just have it in front of.
That may be for them to have.
I can read out the score.
You want me to? Would that be helpful for you two? I mean, you don't have the score sheet.
I will trust that the folks in the room that if it comes down to scoring and supporting the scoring and the scoring is obvious, then fine. If it's super close and we want further discussion, then.
Yeah,
it was close.
It wasn't.
But it may be helpful for you, Jude, and for the mayor to have that information. Would it, Mayor, is that something that would be helpful for you?
What, the scores?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I don't see an issue with reading them out. If that's what.
Okay, so the highest ranked bank, Wells Fargo, had a score of 142 about a possible 150 points. The other bank in question, Lone Star National Bank, was ranked, had a total points of 77.
Can you read out the others, to be fair?
Sure. We've got Chase Bank, 133 points. Frost Bank, 116. Lone Star National Bank at 77 points. Plains Capital, 104. Texas Regional Bank, 80. And Wells Fargo at 142.
I think, let me add to that, Mr. Sampaio, what happens to, and I'm sure, PUB sends to all banks, that right. They send proposal requests, and if for some reason the bank cannot participate, they may not respond, or they may say, you know what, we're not interested. Not that they don't want to take that contract, Mr. Vendon, but again, what happens is that the banks, you know, can, if they're asking for a certain number of things, the banks are going to check off what they can do and what they cannot do. And so at the end of the day, they can't have so many different banks to service certain things when they need to.
I understand that, but I do believe that there's an element internally. This bank has been here for 10 to 12 years. They're moving forward with the same recommendation. I don't believe in just running the cycle over and over with the same recommendation. And I'm concerned with this bank that we're talking about. Lone Star National Bank can handle the Browns Independent School District, can handle the Port, can handle Texas Southwest College. That's my concern. And I made my
mic. Might not have the same requirements that PUB has.
Yeah. Mike, this is Jude.
Yes, Jude.
Can you tell me, that was a significant point difference there between Lone Star and many of the other banks, but specifically between your staff's recommendation and Lone Star, what you saying that there were some items? I mean, I don't see the list where there's some specific. I see the criteria. Were there any specific criteria that they were sorely lacking in?
Yeah. So Lone Star National Bank is not able to provide safe box custodial. They did not provide an earnings credit to offset charges. They reserve the right to accept or reject deposits in excess of $60 million. They do require 48-hour notice of deposits withdrawals over $5 million. They did not have any positive pay verification for fraud prevention. They had no post, no check fraud prevention services. On their checking, the bank will charge a 2% fee of check amount to non-Lone Star National Bank customers. Lone Star National Bank proposes that before any investment is made by PPUB, that PPUB first contact the investment division of Lone Star National Bank. The bank reserves the option to use Frost FHLB letter of credit for collateral pledging purposes, so they're not pledging any of their securities. Fees and rates on extensions or renewals will be subject to renegotiation. The ACH credit entry required 2 business days in advance of desired settlement date, and no acceptance of BPV payments and/or payment kiosks or other options. So those are all the items that we had in the RFP that they're not able to accommodate.
And the majority are all, or most of the of those items that you picked are met by Wells Fargo?
Yes, they're provided by Wells Fargo.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I know he made a motion, but we need to make a decision and decide whether we're going to go with Lone Star, or we're going to go with Wells Fargo, or we're going to...
Well, he would need a second.
Well, you would need a second, right? Yeah.
I'll second it. I always prefer to go local if possible. especially for someone like this. We may not have the votes, but I still think it's a second. I'll second it.
So I'm just going to have to vote for this motion. So what's the motion? The motion is for Mr. Rendon is to go with the Lone Star National Bank, and the mayor has seconded that motion. I need to, if anybody's in favor of this motion,
Well, what do? I say no if I'm not in favor.
Yeah, just wait. Yeah, just wait if you're not in favor.
I mean, there's a motion and a second, so just whoever's in favor is aye, right? So aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Aye.
Nay. Nay. Did Mr. Benavides say nay? Or?
I said nay, yes. Correct.
Okay.
Nay.
Didn't hear.
Well, then in this case?
The motion failed.
The motion failed.
Okay. Who was the highest ranked local bank? Was it Lone Star or was it another bank?
As it, Mike, is that Texas Regional is the other local?
Texas Regional at 80. The rest are pretty Frost at 116.
I'll make a motion then for Texas Regional.
Second that motion.
Any opposed?
I oppose.
Well, we haven't, I would ask staff to weigh in on that. I mean,
what's the motion, which bank?
The motion is on Texas Regional.
The motion now is just Texas Regional.
And that you will find on page 13. So there's no acceptance of BPV payments or other options, no safe box custodial, no check conversion service, and they're not providing any quarterly account analysis settlement.
I think, this is Jude, I think that, I mean, there's obviously a desire by some board members, and I usually side the same, to try to approve local, but I think that we need to, I mean, without looking at each of those factors carefully and offset them or compare them to whether or not it's worth the local versus a larger bank, I myself have to go with that substantial list of qualifications the other banks have, or the banks you mentioned have in your scoring. But I think it might behoove us to look into that in the future a little more carefully to make sure that all of these criteria are essential enough to forego my desire, at least, to support this effort for local and or regional vendors when possible. But I think that would require more time. So for now, I would say no to that, given me not knowing any further details on these, how important each of those criteria are.
I hear everything he said.
Was that a yes vote or a no vote?
I guess you guys can't hear me?
Not very
well. We can't hear you very well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. That's a no vote then. Until we get more information on the criteria and how important those criteria are in comparing that to supporting local and regional efforts, which I try to support.
Is that a no vote to the motion? No one voted.
I think so. I'm not lost. That's a no vote. It's a no vote to the next regional bank or local bank, yeah, whichever one of that was. I'm sorry.
Did not pass forward. Texas Regional. Excuse me, did Mr. Sampaio?
There was a no vote.
So at this time, I need to see if the board is going to consider a motion on Lone Star National Bank.
Oh, that was already.
I make a motion to go with the Wells Fargo Bank. That can accommodate everything that needs to be done for PUB.
Okay, so we have a motion for Wells Fargo Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a second?
I have a second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
I vote against it.
So in this case, motion carries.
What's the vote? What's the vote count?
Aye.
Aye.
The mayor and Jude both voted aye as well.
And then us.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go ahead and go to the next item. Item number 9, consideration and possible action of a resolution amending designation of certain officers as authorized signatories to drafts drawn on accounts of Brownsville Public Utilities Board at the Wells Fargo Bank.
Yeah, so Madam Chair, members of the board, this is also just a housekeeping item. We're including newly elected officers, and we are removing Mr. Benavides as an authorized signatory in the bank. So at this time, the BPV staff recommends approval of the resolution amending designation of certain officers as authorized signatories to drafts drawn on accounts of BPV at the Wells Fargo Bank.
I so move.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. This time we're going to go with item number 10, which is a consideration and possible action to authorize the general manager and the chief executive officer to negotiate and execute all documents necessary to implement the Brownsville Public Utilities Board's property insurance renewal for the policy year 2022-2023.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. As the facilities board requested a renewal quote for the property insurance for policy year 2022 to 2023 from Marsh USA Incorporated. The property insurance policy year begins April 1st and ends March 31st. An analysis of the renewal was conducted by BPUV's insurance consultant, Arthur J. Gallagher & Company, and is attached. The renewal includes an increase in premiums. The total insured values increased by $36,421,956, or 5.3%. The premium increased by 17.61%. Arthur J. Gallagher & Company has recommended the renewal of the proposal. The premium is prorated based on property values between BPUV and SRWA and is as follows. BPUV encompasses 94% of the total insured values, therefore the renewal premium will be $2,161,411. SRWA encompasses 6% of the total insured values, therefore the premium would be $137,962. The total premium would be $2,299,373. This renewal represents the third year of three-year contract with BPUV's option to renew each year. Policy year 2022 to 2023 is scheduled to renew upon approval on April 1st, 2022. We did present these items in the financial committee meeting as well as the SRWA meeting because it was prior. We have a deadline on April 1st, so we did have to go to SRWA contingent that you guys would approve it. I do have our consultant available, Ms. Nancy Sylvester. If you want us to go through the presentation or the financial, it's up to you if you would like me to proceed with the presentation or make a recommendation.
And on the increase.
What, yes, ma'am.
What caused the increase on the insured values went up?
The insured values went up. That's including the annex billing. That's one of the increases, and that's one of the reasons. And Nancy, can you assist in regards to the market updates?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Really quickly, the insurance market is upside down. I have not seen it this bad in probably since 2005. The insurance marketplace has hardened, in particular along the Gulf Coast. But what started driving the increase for everyone across the U.S. is the reinsurance treaties. Reinsurers cover carriers, right? Carriers insure you. Reinsurance treaties, January 1 is a big renewal date. Reinsurance treaties across the U.S. increased, it actually increased an average of 6%, which isn't terrible. However, reinsurance treaties along the Gulf Coast increased in double digits. So for everybody like us who live along the Gulf Coast, we started out the renewal on January 1, and who knew? It's because of the amount of losses. 2017 was the largest recorded year in losses in the history of the U.S. 2021 was the second largest recorded year of losses in the history of the U.S. So U.S. and the world had the highest reinsurance increases, followed by Europe, Canada, and then it goes on to China. That is the world we're living in right now.
Aside from that, just to add to what Nancy said, what we're recommending is a not to exceed number. Our brokers currently continue to work on improving both our terms of in regards to the coverage as well as the overall premium. So for April 1st, because those terms have not been finalized, as we try to get better terms and a better renewal premium, this would be a not to exceed number. So we would not see a number higher than this. And we're working to provide a better number upon renewal. But we do need to move forward because the policy does expire on March 31st. And because of the current market, like Nancy explained, the way that it is hard to get those. We moved with the correct timeline, but it's hard to get those insurers to come back to be able to provide us that coverage. And that's why we're here. Again, this is a worst case scenario in regards to premium. So that's the highest we would see as a number. It's an overall number.
Any questions from the board members?
Well, no. I'd like to make a recommendation that we approve it based on the administration's recommendation. I was here at the last meeting. We discussed this item.
Thank you, sir. So it is an action item. May I make the recommendation for?
Got a first and second. All in favor, say aye.
One second.
Aye.
We'll make the recommendation.
Just for the record.
BPV staff recommends the board authorize the general manager and chief executive officer to negotiate and execute all documents necessary to implement the Brownsville Public Utilities Board property insurance renewal for policy year 2022 to 2023 for a total not to exceed $2,161,000.
$161,411.
Okay.
So
we already have a motion.
I'm going to repeat that. Make a motion that we accept the administration's recommendation from this.
Second.
Solosano.
So all in favor say aye.
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 Thank you very much for your time.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. With item number 11. The consideration and possible approval to select a vendor for multi-channel payment processing.
We're here to basically multi-channel payment processing. Multi-channel payment processing is the way we take all of our various payments, credit cards, e-checks, any kind of electronic payments. We've had our current vendor for 6 years, Invoice Cloud, and our recommendation is staff recommends awarding the contract to Invoice Cloud as a vendor who is the most advantageous to PUB and authorize the general manager and CEO to negotiate and execute a 3-year contract for multi-channel payment processing services starting May 22nd. We did do a presentation for the Finance Committee. We have it ready if you all would like us to walk through that.
I so move the approval of Invoice Cloud.
I'll second.
Absolutely.
Okay. This time, everybody who's in favor say aye.
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 Hi, Drew.
Hi, yes.
Okay. So motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. With item number 12, which is a consideration and possible action to ratify the increase in cost for the purchase of pole mount and pad mount transformer. Lynn?
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. The PUB staff recommends the board approval to ratify the increase in costs for the purchase of the semi-annual supply of pole mount and pad mount transformers for the additional amount of $233,985 to KBS Electric Distributors of Austin for a total cost not to exceed $3,480,120.
Do you have any questions from the board?
I just wanted to make a comment. I know we discussed this before, but it seems so simple for these increases just to flow to us at such a high rate, over $200,000 increase.
It is. We did another bid just last week. We received them, and we haven't finished the total evaluation, but the costs for, like, the large pad mount transformers are over $100,000 just for one.
And I'm sure that y'all are doing your due diligence and you're reviewing other possibilities and opportunities, and this is the best scenario?
Yes, the steel market is really bad out there, and because the pad mount transformers are all steel.
Mr. Andon, as far as looking at other options, we are looking at options of taking some of the transformers that have been put out of service, bringing them into a place where they can be refurbished, and hopefully try to minimize our costs that way by overhauling the transformers that have been put out of service.
It would be cost effective. Do you have the contract or a vendor?
No, we have that out for bid. We're going to put it out for bid this coming week.
Okay.
To bid it out for the refurbishment of the transformers that we currently have.
Okay.
I think the problem with this item is the board approved an amount.
I know.
By the time we signed it, the amount increased. So the only options we can do on these is on an emergency basis, when we open bids and have a low bidder that's a standard low bidder, allow me to approve it and ratify the board, come back and ratify it. That way we lock that price in.
Yeah.
Or we have a series of emergencies or special meetings during the week when we have it and award it at that time. But if we're waiting more than a few weeks, the price is jumping. So it's really a decision of the board. I don't want to get in a situation where I bring you a string of ratifications every month that are above my authority, but I don't like bringing these to you where you've approved it and the price has gone up $250,000. So there's only two ways that we can do it.
Well, and John, I think, you know, we spoke about it in the Finance Committee meeting. You may want to take a look at, you know, what mechanisms we have under our current procurement policy or what options we have available to us so that, I mean, the supply chain is affecting everybody, not just PUB. It's affecting other organizations, the city, I'm sure, as well. And so if there are any items on there that are at risk of having, you know, a price modification in the short term, perhaps there's a way to go about it so that we can move faster on it and not put that bid at risk. So,
yeah, I can look at our procurement and where my authority is on that and maybe adopt some language in there given, you know, circumstances, bring that back at the next meeting.
Well, especially on items like this one, right, where we know that transformers are in short supply and there's it's tough to get them. And anything where we're allocating this amount of money, if we can move faster and guarantee that price, I'd say let's try and do that.
Yeah, and we'll try to bring a list of things coming down the pike here in the next couple of months
where we may have to do that.
Where we'll tell you the high probability of this by the time we open bids and the time you award it, the price is going to change.
Okay. That we just bid out last week. So those are well over Mr. Bruciak's approval.
So that's one that if they're a low bidder, and they're honoring the price, I can lock that in and bring it to the board or call an emergency meeting, special meeting. Other than that, really, that's all we can do. I'll take a look at it and see the price of them and see what our liability is to wait.
I'll make a motion. Well, you going to read it first?
I read.
You already read it?
That's what I read, yeah.
Make a motion that we accept the recommendation from administration.
Second.
First and second, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to go with item number 13. Consideration of possible action to reject all proposals for the light duty and heavy duty fleet auto parts and resoliciting proposals for those services. Hyman?
Madam Chair, members of the board, we are recommending to reject all proposals for the fleet light duty and heavy duty auto parts and resoliciting these services. Does the board have any questions?
There's a reason why y'all are rejecting.
We're looking at the proposal, and we don't have a cost tied down to the proposal. We have, it's based on service, a percentage of discount, but we don't have a, that's last time we had questions on how much money we're awarding each of the vendors. So right. We're trying to fine tune that proposal a little bit more.
Okay.
Questions? Can get a motion?
I'll move.
Second?
I'll second it.
Second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Item number 14, consideration and possible action to award the annual supply of liquid aluminum-based water treatment coagulant.
I'll be presenting that as well. Okay. The PB staff is recommending awarding the annual supply of the liquid aluminum-based water treatment coagulant to ChemTreat Chemicals US LLC of, I'm going to butcher this name, but it's Parsippany, New Jersey, for a unit cost of 36.25 cents per pound and a grand total amount not to exceed $1,087,500.
The board? Need a motion?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Item number 15, the consideration and possible action to approve change order number one for the South Wastewater Treatment Plant Improvements Project Packet number 5.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman, members of the board. My name is Ricky Pineda. I am the project manager on this project. I'll be presenting for Ms. Leal. Are there any questions for me?
Madam Chair, may I have a question?
Yes, sir.
I read the backup and all that, and I don't understand how we got to this point that there was additional work that needed to be performed after they opened it up, apparently. Is there any field work that y'all perform when you're out there to try to understand exactly what the job description is going to take?
Right. So during the design phase of this project, there was no indication that there was any corrosion to the concrete. There's a chemical called H2S that typically builds up. Now, that's what causes corrosion. Now, during the design phase, there weren't any indications that there was corrosion occurring at that moment. So when the contractor comes in and starts removing the odor control panels, that's when they discover that there was concrete attack. So this is a purpose for the chamber to repair those damages. So during the design phase, there weren't any indications to the design engineer that this was occurring.
If I could add to that, Mr. Rendon, is in order to get to where you're talking about, where you're looking at it and finding out what's needed, a shutdown and an evacuation of all the plant area would be necessary in order to determine that. But we don't shut down or interrupt the flows. And in fact, they have to bypass around the facility to be able to get in there. Once you do that, then you discover all manner of problems. And in this case, we found that the H2S had eaten the concrete walls up.
And who opened it up? The subcontractor?
The contractor, yeah. As they began the repair and they bypassed the facility, emptied it out so it was safe to enter, that's when they discover what's really.
And then y'all report there to document it and to see the
right. So when it was discovered, we did document it. We did get a hold of the design engineer, and this is their recommendation to extend the life of these facilities. The only way to do it is to do these repairs.
But you did document the photographs and documented right. The
and this would be a work assignment to the same contractor that exposed it, that made it ready. you don't want to stop and then bid this out to any other contractor, because then you'll have a bifurcation of responsibility, and we want to keep it with the same contractor for warranty purposes.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Need a motion?
I'll make a motion that we recommend the recommendation from the administration on the change order.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Go ahead and read the...
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Do I need to read the recommendation action?
Oh, I keep forgetting.
Yes. Okay.
Go ahead.
So BPUE staff recommends approval of change order number one for the Southwest Water Treatment Plant Improvements Project Packet 5 at the amount of $270,641 for the revised not-to-exceed contract amount of $5,449,105 to Garney Companies.
Mr. Ramon, let's go ahead and do it again. Motion?
I'll make the motion to accept the recommendation from the administration.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you so much. We're going to go to item number 16. Item number 16 is a consideration and possible action to approve the request to extend the annual tree trimming services contract for a second year.
Good evening. Yes. Madam Chair, members of the board. I'm Cesar Cortinas, Director of Electrical Transmission and Distribution for BPUB. So BPUB staff recommends approval to extend the annual tree trimming services contract for an additional year based on the bid schedule rates provided by the second year to ABC Professional Tree Services, INC of Webster, Texas, for a total amount not to exceed $712,154.60. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
I have a question, Cesar. How many companies did y'all talk to?
This one was four companies back in, I think it was May last year.
All right. Ask you this. I know there's companies out there, and they provide services to residents, and they trim trees back. But is PUB actively involved in supervising this company? It's a subcontract company. We hire them. Do y'all have dedicated staff that...
We have one project manager that dedicates his time to not every single job, but spontaneously go out there and do inspections to the job they perform.
Okay. I'd like to meet with you later, perhaps tomorrow, Mr. Bruziak. I have some concerns I'd like to bring to your attention.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to accept. So I need a motion.
We got a motion. I'll second.
A second. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. At this time, we're going to go ahead and recess to our closed meeting. We have several items, starting with number one, which is a meeting with board's legal counsel for advice about contemplated and pending court and administrative litigation, and on matters in which the duty of the attorney under the Texas Disciplinary Rules of Professional Conduct conflicts with Chapter 551, Section 551.071, including, among other matters, status of required financial disclosure statements, potential appeal of open records ruling requiring disclosure of sensitive Brownsville Public Utilities Board information held by the PUC to State District Court, and legal issues related to cybersecurity incident. Item number two will be the report by the General Manager and Chief Executive Officer on status of appointment of a Chief Operating Officer and discussion thereon, according to Section 551.074. Third item will be the consideration and approval authorizing the General Manager and the Chief Financial Officer to proceed with negotiation of a purchase agreement to acquire a 3.62-acre tract of land for a proposed electric substation, Section 551.072. Item number four is information and action regarding cybersecurity incident, Section 551.076, 551.089 under Texas Government Code, Section 418.177. And the last item will be the discussion of real estate matters. Can I get a motion to go to closed session, please?
I'll move. Motion.
Motion. Second.
Second.
Everybody in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Well, at this time, we're going to go ahead and continue with the items for individual consideration. We got item number 17, which is consideration and possible action on items discussed in closed meeting.
Are you on? John Davidson,
can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. On one of the items discussed, the board would be it's recommended the board authorize the appeal of an open records ruling of the Office of the Attorney General requiring disclosure of sensitive Brownsville Public Utilities Board information held by the Public Utility Commission of Texas to State District Court.
So moved.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item.
And the real estate item.
Yeah, the real estate item three.
Mm-hmm. It's for item three.
We've got local on that.
Station. Need a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to accept that recommendation.
Need a second?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item.
And the last one was on number five, and it was a recommendation to authorize the state of Texas to access EPUB's right of way for surveys subject to approval by the City Commission.
Need a motion?
Second.
Yes.
Second.
Second. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we're going to go to the last item. Any discussion and a request for future agenda items?
Nope.
Yeah. Can I get a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.